We're beginning the 27th chapter of 1 Samuel, and we see in this chapter where David begins to lose some of his faith. David begins to reason with himself. In the first verse it says, "And David said in his heart, I now shall perish one day by the hand of Saul." Saul had done so many things against him. Saul had failed to keep his word, failed to keep his oath. He'd proven over and over that he really wanted David dead. Until now, even though Saul has gone back to his own place, now David, as he reasoned with himself, he says, "I now shall perish one day by the hand of Saul." And this idea has so depressed David until it has impaired his ability to have good judgment. So he makes a decision here to leave the land, of Israel, and to go into the land of the Philistines, which is probably not a good decision at all. He further says, "There is nothing better for me than that I should speedily escape into the land of the Philistines. And Saul shall despair of me to seek me any more in any coast of Israel. So shall I escape out of his hand." So in David's mind now, that's the only way to resolve this matter. It's the only way to get away from the hand of Saul. It's to just flee the country, go into the land of the Philistines. Saul will despair of searching after him anymore. He'll not seek him anymore in Israel. And he won't go into the land of the Philistines to seek him. And so he says, "So shall I escape out of his hand." Now this was, as we said, probably not a good decision at all for David to make. In chapter 22, verse 5, Gad had said that he was to be in the land of Judah. Now that's the thing that came from a prophet. Here David doesn't seek after any counsel from the priests or from the Thummim and the Urim. He doesn't ask another prophet. He doesn't ask God. But he seems to be doing something that he just brought out of his own mind. Something from his own reasoning and rationalization due to his terrible state of despair at all the things that Saul had done. And we wonder at the wisdom of this. How could he expect to be safe among the Philistines, out of whose hands he had only recently been delivered by feigning himself to be mad? He was anointed to be king of Israel. How could he expect God to protect him if he left his land, left the land that he was to be king of? He also, if he did become king, if God did carry out his promise, which we have to believe that he was going to do, and David would have to believe that God was going to do this, if he did become king, then he would have to launch battles against the Philistines whenever they did wrong to his nation. Here, he was going to put himself in debt to the Philistines, and then at a later time, he would have to be against these very people that he was now asking protection from. And it may seem that he'd done what his enemies wanted him to do, that he'd gone into another land and worshipped strange gods. Here again, this would put him at a disadvantage. Even those who were his staunch supporters in the land of Israel would have to wonder what was David doing in the land of the Philistines. And so there are many reasons that we can see that this was probably a poor move on the part of David to go into the land of the Philistines. But he did it under duress. He did it as a result of a weakness in his faith at this particular point. He'd been so pressed, so persecuted by Saul, until now he was forced, it seemed, into making this poor decision. Verse 2, "And David arose, and he passed over with the 600 men that were with him unto Achish, the son of Maach, king of Gath." So as we know, Gath is one of those prominent cities of the Philistines, and he approached the king of Gath, Achish, and not only was it David who went, but it was also the 600 men that were with him. And verse 3 says, "And David dwelt with Achish at Gath, he and his men, every man with his household, even David with his two wives, Ahinoam, the Jezreelitess, and Abigail, the Carmelitess, Nabal's wife." And of course we know at this point that Nabal was no longer alive. So not only did David and his 600 men go, but they all took their families. They all took their households with them, even David and his two wives, so that they stayed together as a unit. It wasn't a matter of the men deserting their homes, leaving their wives someplace else, leaving their families at the mercy of any of the marauders who might have been against them in the land of Israel. But they were all together now among the Philistines in the city of Gath, with the good favor of the king, Achish. And it was told Saul that David was fled to Gath. and he sought no more for him. Now this implies the fact that Saul sought no more for him when he learned that he was in Gath. This implies that Saul would have sought for him had he been closer, that had he been available, Saul in all probability would have continued to have sought after David's life. And David said unto Achish, If I have now found grace in thine eyes, let them give me a place in some town in the country, that I may dwell there. For why should thy servant dwell in the royal city with thee? Now David here is making an appeal to be allowed to move out of this city of Gath. It's a royal city. And David appeals to Achish like this. If I have found grace in thine eyes, let me move to another city, a city that's more in the country, a city that's away from the royal city. For why should I dwell in the royal city with thee? Why should I and my 600 men and all of our families have a crowding effect upon you here in this royal city? Why should we detract any from you and from your glory as the ruler or the king? Why should we in any wise impose upon you here? Let us have a city out in the country where we can be to ourselves. We can be away from the royal city, and consequently, it'll not be any kind of an imposing problem for you for us to be here in the land of the Philistines. And we shall see that this was a very beneficial move for David to make, for it did give him a place that would be more to his advantage than living in the city of Gath. Verse 6, Then Achish gave him Ziklag that day. Now this city of Ziklag was more or less on the border between the land of the Philistines and the land of Israel. It originally had been a city that was given to the city of Judah. In Joshua 15:31 we read about that. And then later it became a part of the tribe of Simeon, Joshua 19:5. But now it was in the hands of the Philistines. Either the people of God had never possessed it, they'd never gained the authority over it, or the Philistines had somehow or other won it back from them and now had it in their possession. And it may very well be that they had gotten it by ill means, and this king Achish realized this, and so he was going to more or less find the opportunity to return it back to the rightful owner. But by giving it to David, then David was allowed to possess it, and it did then become a part of the possessions of the Israelites. And so the rest of verse 6 says, Wherefore Ziklag pertaineth unto the kings of Judah unto this day. So from that time on, it did remain a possession of the land of Israel. Verse 7, And the time that David dwelt in the country of the Philistines was a full year and 4 months. Now, according to this, he was here 16 months. Some of the translations say that it was 4 months, and they don't mention anything about it being a full year. But he dwelt here a sufficient length of time to have established himself, and we're going to see some other outstanding activities that he did during this time. Beginning in verse 8, we have the account of some of David's actions while he was in the land of the Philistines. Verse 8 says, And David and his men went up and invaded the Girgashites and the Gezrites and the Amalekites, for those nations were of old the inhabitants of the land that goeth to Shur, even unto the land of Egypt. The Geshurites and the Gezrites were probably either kin to or closely associated with the Amalekites. Now, we know that the Amalekites had long before this been doomed to absolute extinction by God. In Exodus 17, beginning with the 8th verse, and again in Deuteronomy 25, beginning with the 17th verse, we have God's condemnation of the Amalekites and the fact that they are to be wiped off from the face of the earth. Saul was supposed to do this. Samuel instructed Saul to do it, and Saul failed in this. And this was the first great sin that really cast Saul out of favor with God so that he was destined to no longer be king. So what David is doing whenever he invades these peoples and completely annihilates them is simply fulfilling what has been the will of God for these peoples a long time ago. So we can't really condemn David for doing this. David is the anointed of the Lord, and he doesn't just sit still while he's in this land of the Philistines, but he is active in continuing to do the will of God. His main reason for being in the land of the Philistines is simply to escape the wrath of Saul, not to fail to do any of the works of God. So as he goes against these nations, these nations were of old the inhabitants of the land that goeth to Shur, even unto the land of Egypt. Now this word Shur means the wall. It's sort of the northern boundary of Egypt that separates Egypt from the country north of it. And the place called Shur could very well have been a passageway through that wall that did protect the northern part of Egypt. But we're talking about the land right down close to the border of Egypt now. And David smote the land, and left neither man nor woman alive, and took away the sheep, and the oxen, and the asses, and the camels, and the apparel, and returned, and came to Achish. So we see that David brought all the spoils with him, for he and his men, but he didn't leave any man, woman, or child alive. He slew all the people. And he came back to King Achish in the city of Gath. And Achish said, "Whither have you made a road today?" Now the question that Achish asks David implies that David was in the habit of making predatory excursions. So it would have been a very pertinent question for the king to have asked David, "Whither have you made a road today? What have you been doing today? Where did you go today?" And David said, "Against the south of Judah, against the south of the Jerahmeelites, and against the south of the Kenites." So David didn't tell him the truth. He told him that he'd been going against peoples that were a part of Israel, people that were faithful to Israel, against some of God's people. The founder of the Jerahmeelites was Jerahmeel, who was Judah's grandson. And the Kenites were kin to Jethro, who was the father-in-law of Moses. And verse 11 describes it this way, "And David saved neither man nor woman alive to bring tidings to Gath, saying, lest they should tell on us, saying, so did David." Now, the motive that David had here of not sparing any of these people was so that they wouldn't come and tell the truth to Gath, tell the truth to the king of Gath, Achish, as to what David had been doing. But ultimately, God's will was fulfilled here, because it was God's will that none of these people be spared. They were to be wiped off from the face of the earth. And so David said that they shouldn't tell on us, saying, so did David, and so will be his manner all the while he dwelleth in the country of the Philistines. He didn't really want Achish to know what he'd been doing. And because if Achish realized what a great slaughter David had been involved in, then they would say, so will be his manner all the while he dwelleth in the country of the Philistines. That is, if David has done this thing, then he's going to be this type of a person. This is the way he's going to be as long as he lives among us. And so he would be a threat to the Philistines. The Philistines would be afraid of him. And so we can't really exonerate David for telling this lie to the king Achish. However, this is the way it happened, and this was the motive that David had for it, but so that they wouldn't know what a fierce warrior he was, he and his men. They wouldn't know that they had such a great potential for bringing about destruction, and they wouldn't have the fear of them. And Achish believed David, and saying, "He hath made his people Israel utterly to abhor him. Therefore he shall be my servant forever." So Achish believed that David had gone against his own people. He believed he had gone against the people of Israel. And so this would further alienate David's own people against David. And so this made Achish say and believe that David had made his people Israel utterly to abhor him. Now there's no way he can go back to Israel. He's going to be in trouble there from now on. And so he shall be my servant forever. He's going to always have to be indebted and in some kind of servitude to me, because I'm the only one who will protect him. He can't go back to his people Israel because of the bad thing he's done over there. And of course, Achish had been deliberately misled into believing this. David hadn't done anything against Israel. He had only fought against those people that were truly the enemies of God, and that God had previously prophesied should be completely annihilated. And really what David had done here in defeating these people was to simply continue the work that Saul had begun but had not finished. This was the great sin of Saul, not completely annihilating the Amalekites. And so this is what David did. However, he did err in telling Achish a lie about his actions. So we conclude the 27th chapter of 1 Samuel.